Integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both, together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia, this is Dr. John Kreutz.
Welcome to Integrated. Today we want to continue in our series on theological pictures that we find in the Bible, where a picture paints 1,000 words and it represents it. But before we get into the details of this, before we open up the coloring book and find the new picture to consider, let me remind you how important it is if you could leave a rating or review or pass along this episode to someone else. This really does help us get the word out and expands the reach of our ministry together. We don't want to just keep all this good stuff to ourselves, do we? No, we want others to find out about Integrated as well. Well, let's pull out the book and let's look at some pictures. And today we want to consider salvation itself. And I'm going to take us to one element of salvation, and that is our sanctification, our ministry to others. And I'm going to go to kind of an unusual place in the Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 2, where Paul is giving Timothy kind of instructions, even you might even say his last will and testament. This is his last letter before he meets the Lord himself, because he is in his second Roman imprisonment. He is about to die. And so he wants Timothy to carry the torch on faithfully. And so he's giving him charge. So you could say that this directly applies to Timothy as a minister of the gospel, but I think there's some applications for us all in terms of ministry. So these pictures of ministry help us to appreciate what it means to live the Christian life. All right, we have three pictures in a row in 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 3. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. So, first picture is a soldier. You may be tempted to think of a modern soldier, maybe in their battle fatigues, maybe with the latest technological advances in weaponry. But probably it would be more accurate to think of the Roman soldier. And if you've grown up in church, sometimes in Sunday school, they pull out pictures and maybe they even give out little pieces of armor for the different ones to put on. You know, Ephesians chapter 6 has that great passage about the believer's armor when it comes to spiritual warfare. But for our purposes, we kind of have an idea maybe about what a Roman soldier would have looked like. And that's the picture on our page as we think about ministry and life as a Christian. And there are several elements of being a soldier, right? He could have focused on a number of things, but he focuses on suffering. He focuses on entanglement, and he focuses on pleasing the superior officer, if you will. So let's think about some of those things. Share in suffering. So when it comes to being a soldier, it's not about a cushy life. You know, I grew up in Norfolk, Virginia, and so that part of Virginia is loaded with military, specifically Navy. largest naval base in the world, 26 major military installations in our community. We were loaded with the Navy. And when the Navy wants to impress you with their seamen, they can do it by pulling out the dress blues. And everybody looks so super sharp. And you're just like, wow, this is great. But when you think of it, and you maybe think of it like a Navy ball or something like that, where they all dress in their dress uniforms and they're dancing. And you know, it just looks so, so wonderful. But here, we're talking about in the trenches. We're talking about a soldier who is suffering. And there is suffering when it comes to the Christian life. If you're going to be a soldier of Jesus, you too will experience hardship of various kinds. Obviously, Paul had a lot of experience around Roman soldiers. He would have experienced just interacting with them in some of the major cities where he was ministering. But in his two imprisonments, he could have literally been strapped to or chained to a soldier and heard all kinds of stories of suffering. And so it's a very appropriate illustration. Being a soldier was not a life of ease and endless vacations. Whatever the recruiter tells you, oh, join the Navy, go see the world. Well, there's more to it than just that. One of the ancient church fathers, Tertullian, in his book, Address to Martyrs, said, no soldier comes to the war surrounded by luxuries, nor goes into action from a comfortable bedroom, but from the makeshift and narrow tent where every kind of hardness and severity and unpleasantness is to be found. I read once that soldiers in the Roman Empire sometimes had to refrain from marriage. One commentator said they could be serving for 25 years or more. That's a lot more than our modern military hitches, if you will. So, wow. All right. So we've got to be ready to go when it comes to our Christian life. There might be some tough stuff ahead. And of course, Paul warned the new Christians in the book of Acts, through many trials and sufferings, we must enter into the kingdom of God. But there's another point of this illustration that Paul draws out when he says in verse 4, no soldier entangles himself in civilian pursuits. Now, new recruits in the military may get a little window of time to kind of shut down their civilian life before they head off to boot camp or basic instruction. But the idea is you're about to change worlds. The Army owns you, right? The Marines own you now. You don't have civilian life. It's an incredible thought. And of course, the Lord tells us that if you put your hand to the plow, you don't look back. So this is a good illustration of our wholehearted commitment to the Lord. Now, of course, we live in the world. We have ordinary responsibilities of life. Maybe you're married. Maybe you have kids, a work, community. These are all good. But what we do for the Lord's sake. Even when we go on vacation, It ought not to just be, okay, now it's me time. No, it's recharge for the Lord's work because we are the Lord's soldiers. The key idea for Paul here is entanglement. We're not entangled with civilian pursuits. Why not? Because our aim is to keep our eye on the ball, to please the one who enlisted him. And in our sake, it's the Lord. We want to please the Lord. He's our commander in chief. And ultimately, everything else we do in life, we should do for the Lord's sake. Another illustration that Paul uses in this context for ministry as well as for the Christian life is that of an athlete. So turn the page in your book and think about the picture of an athlete, maybe a track and field runner or something like that. It says an athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Now, Paul was used to the Olympic Games, and in Greece, they also had the Isthmian Games in Corinth. The winners were highly honored. They were like local celebrities. They had a bunch of preparation, though. Strict rules for 10 months of preparatory training in order to compete and to get into the competition. They had to take an oath before Zeus that they had done their 10 months of responsibility. So I think that that's a good illustration for us that as athletes of the Lord, we need to be self-controlled, as Paul says about himself in 1 Corinthians 9, that we're running the race to win the race. We need to have discipline and hard work and determination when it comes to following Christ. You know, I think a lot of us are a little bit soft in our spiritual competition, but being part of a race is a really great picture for us. Now, Paul uses other examples of the race in the Bible, and there's other examples of racing compared to the Christian life in the Bible. After our break, I want to show you one more illustration where the race comes up again in the book of Hebrews. We have to take a break now, but come back as we continue to look at these pictures that are helping us understand our theology, which then help us to do God's word.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Kratz in just a moment as he walks through Paul's pictures of the Christian life. Soldiers who suffer, athletes who follow rules, and farmers who work hard. That's not exactly comfortable Christianity that most people signed up for. But that's how Paul described following Jesus. We've turned Christianity into this easy lifestyle choice when Scripture continues to use images of military service, athletic competition, things that require sacrifice and discipline, and not getting distracted by stuff that doesn't matter. Most Christians today are more worried about their comfort than what they've been called to. Fortis Plus cuts through all of the comfortable Christianity, if you haven't noticed that just yet. And if you haven't downloaded Fortis Plus just yet, I'm telling you, you are missing out sorely, because there are hundreds, maybe thousands of hours of audio and video content available at Fortis Plus right now. And get this, it's not static content. That means it's not content that was all curated in 2014, and we just want you to go and listen to it, and that's all you get. No, we're adding to it every single day. And here's another part that makes it absolutely unbelievable. If you ask me, it is absolutely free. We're not charging you anything for all of this content, because discipleship, real discipleship, shouldn't cost extra when fake discipleship already costs you everything. You can download Fortis Plus when you're ready by going to the place where you download apps on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. And the reason that Fortis Plus is free, because of people just like you. People who have been impacted by the content that we're producing here at Fortis Institute, so much so that they want to stand arm in arm with us and join us and partner with us so that more people in more places all over the world also have access to this content. If that's you and you're already faithfully giving to your local church because that is your number one giving priority, when you have a margin where you could still join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, we would be honored and grateful to link arms with you and fight the good fight together. To find out how you can join us, go to fortisinstitute.org right now to get all of the answers to all of the questions that you likely have. Find out what it's going to look like in your life. Start praying about it. Then, with a clear conscience, you join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Do that again at fortisinstitute.org. Now, let's get back to Dr. John Kratz. This is Integrated. Welcome back to Integrated.
It has to go from a theory, a concept, or even a theology. It has to move our hearts.
And now back to your host, Dr. John Kratz.
Welcome back. We are continuing to consider some of the pictures that the Bible paints as it gives us a theology in picture form, which helps us to understand more of the meaning of God's truth, and that in turn helps us to put it into practice in our lives. We have seen pictures in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we've seen the dedicated soldier and we've seen the athlete. And I told you that it's not just in 2 Timothy 2, but throughout the scriptures, some of these same pictures are used to describe the Christian life. The author of Hebrews also uses the athletic imagery of a race in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So what part of the race is captured by the author of Hebrews? Well, let's lay aside every weight and sin which clings to us so closely, and let us run with endurance. So, okay, Paul emphasizes competing according to the rules. The author of Hebrews is emphasizing the self-control and the discipline and the sin. We don't want anything to encumber us in our Christian life, right? And so these are great pictures for us. If we are to be the athlete to win the prize, we've got to do it the Lord's way. And when you think of the Christian life as one of these races, and you are in it, right? Many of us had the experience, the sad experience of coming to that point in their lives, some earlier than others, of realizing we're not going to be in the Olympics, right? If you are an Olympian listening this to me today, you are the exception to the rule, okay? And we're thankful to God for you because we enjoy watching you and cheering for our country and cheering for you. It's amazing to see the Olympians, the best of the best in world competition. But many of us come to recognize we're not going to be one of them. Well, okay, maybe that's so. But when it comes to the Lord, you are in the race. You are an athlete. You are called to compete according to the rules. You are called to run the race with endurance. How's that going for us? All right, these are good pictures. These are good things for us to consider. All right, let's go to another picture that the Lord gives us in the Bible when it comes to ministry, when it comes to living the Christian life, and that is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. So the farmer, that's us. We are now sowing the seed. We are doing the work. The word for hardworking here is kapiao, which is labor to the point of fatigue or exhaustion. And that is a word that Paul uses a lot, and Paul demonstrated a lot. You know, we cannot coast for Christ. If we're going to be in ministry, it is going to be hard work. And it's okay to be tired. It's okay to get to the end of one of those long ministry meetings with somebody where you're working through an issue and go, I am beat. I'm wiped out. Well, this was an illustration that was very relevant in the ancient world. One person said that 85.9% of the population was involved with growing or gathering food as their primary occupation. Wow. This was extremely relevant in the ancient world. So what does it look like for us to work hard? Yeah, you get your share of the crops. You deserve it. You've worked hard in ministry, not for your own sake, but there is a reward that comes for us. I think what we need to think of when we think of the farmer is just steady faithfulness day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year. And when it comes to your Christian life, isn't it tempting to be impatient? I was talking to some guys and we were talking about conferences and big seminars and rallies. You know, when you're in youth group, maybe you've got a youth camp you go to and you get away from the normal stuff of life and the world, and you hear some great preaching, you have some fun, you get in small groups and you're encouraging each other. And it's just a dedicated time of spiritual growth, and you get fired up. And it's like, it's like a shot of adrenaline in your Christian life. And of course, for pastors, we have big pastors' conferences that sometimes we like to go to, and it can have the same effect. It's almost like a youth camp for the big kids. And that's great. But the normal Christian life is not these one-time shots of adrenaline and then just go for months and months and months. You can't live on the mountaintop in that way. It's the steady example of the farmer, day by day, month by month, year by year. I encourage our congregation to be Bible readers. When you come to the beginning of a new year, I almost always preach on Bible resolutions, because if our church is a Bible reading church, faithfully, steadily, like that hardworking farmer, we are going to have a harvest of holiness among our people and a harvest of ministry as we speak the truth in love to one another, because we know the Bible. Well, how are you going to get to know your Bible? You're going to read it. And it's not just reading, 100 chapters in one day and go, okay, now I know the Bible. No, I would rather you read one chapter a day for 100 days than read 100 chapters in one day, honestly, because it's that steady progress of taking God's word in, applying it to our lives, not just hearing it, but doing it, putting it into practice. So that's a great picture for us to think of in, as we think of ministry and as we think of living the Christian life, a farmer. One more picture I want us to go to, and we'll have to turn the page in scripture as well, over to Romans chapter 12. And I don't even know how to describe this picture, because the picture is a living sacrifice. Obviously, Paul is thinking about those Old Testament sacrifices of the animal that is sacrificed to the Lord. And maybe the slaughtered animal is on top of an altar. But here, it's us on top of the altar, and we're not slaughtered. We are sanctified. We are dedicated. We are set apart for the Lord's use. He says in Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. What a great picture of dedication to the Lord. This is worship, right? This, sometimes people say, are there animal sacrifices in the New Testament? Are there sacrifices? I mean, we see all kinds of sacrifices in the Old Testament. And you think of the once for all sacrifice of Jesus on the cross in the place of sinners and his resurrection. But there's other kinds of sacrifices. We are called to be living sacrifices, not to earn God's favor, not to pay for our sins. They were paid for by the sacrifice of Jesus. But because we have been saved, we are now to be fully devoted to the Lord in every way, sold out, not entrapped by the world's ways of thinking, but transformed by the renewal of our mind. Like that farmer again, hardworking, day by day, mind transformation. As we take in God's word, think about what we're reading and think about applying it to our lives. We test these things. We grow in our discernment. John MacArthur once said, the greatest need of our day is discernment. And I think that that is exactly right. Well, how do you become discerning? You become discerning by turning off those videos, the endless doom scrolling on social media, and instead filling your mind and heart with God's truth. When you think of discerning, I think of a net, like a filter, only a bigger version of a filter, a net. And the bigger the gaps in between the ropes of the net, the more stuff that gets through. And so if you're going to go fishing and you use a net, if you want to catch big fish, then it's okay to have gaps in between as you drag the net along. You get all kinds of things inside of it. But all the little fish are going to get through. And when it comes to the Christian life, how big is your filter? How big is your net? What's getting through? Sure, you're recognizing this is right and this is wrong. This is true, this is false. But are you catching those little errors? Well, the more we know God's word, the more we put it into practice as we are living sacrifices sold out to the Lord, the better our discernment will be. Well, thank you so much for listening to Integrated today, for going through these theological pictures. Let's put it into practice. And then can we ask you, just a second, right now maybe, do that rating and review where you're listening to us, because that is a big help to our ministry. Now, don't just be a hearer of God's word. Go and do God's word.
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Krotz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Krotz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.